Good morning. Welcome to another edition, week two of the finals. Get them on side. Someone's bracket is still alive. Four from four. 50-1 you blokes gave me.
Yeah.
That's how little respect you had for my bracket to pick all nine finals. Joel Kane, Sean Ormerod, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shawnee. Good morning to everyone.
Now, Sean's still in Warrigal, but obviously they're getting some sun down in Warrigal. Either that or the spray tan clinic at Warrigal's getting a working over. Sean Ormerod just has shredded for summer. Just a look at it. And look at the little, just, did you see that little head wobble there, Joel Kane?
Oh, yeah.
He's very, very primed for summer.
Yeah.
Far. I couldn't be further from shredded if I tried. I actually stepped on the scales yesterday. And I'm half a kilo under raising the bat, so I'm far from shredded. But it was a nice weekend down here, so I got out and stripped the top off and mowed the lawns for Mum. I was a good son on the weekend, managed a couple of 10 on the way, so we're good to go.
Yeah, you've even look at that, the Ormerod family cushion behind Sean for those watching on KO. I've never seen this before, John.
No.
It's funny, every family has their little nuance.
Yeah, a little sitting room by the looks of it there, Shawnee.
Yeah, yes, where I get my reading done, as I did a couple of weeks ago. The Misty Hyman book.
So we still haven't been able to touch base with Misty.
No, apparently, have they gone back to Wikipedia? Apparently, it's gone up a whole new level, I'm being told.
Right.
Yeah, I've got big suspicions that the author of these amended notes might be Shane Gaunt, by the way. That's just my little sneaky suspicion about some said producer.
Okay. Mm. What did we have? So where did we leave it? The Misty Hyman Wikipedia entry.
Here we go. Fair dinkum. Whoever did this, I'm sure they're watching this or listening to this. So it goes on about Misty Dawn Marie Hyman, who was born in 1979, so a little bit younger than me. Talks about her gold medal, all those sorts of things. And then it says she got the gold medal in the women's 200-metre butterfly at the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney.
Yes.
Also had a brief romance with former NRL top point scorer, and they've added this, and superstar athlete, Joel Kane.
So
is this you doing this?
No. I don't go into that field because I always think you're going to get caught. You know,
oh, absolutely.
It's like the burner account.
100%.
You open a burner account, you're asking to get caught.
100%.
But here's my question. Are you adding this stuff under the pretense of, someone's doing this to me?
Forensically take the phone. Go for your life. What about there's a story about a rugby league identity who's got the wifey or someone's on the case with the burner account, isn't there?
That was a buzz story, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or might have been a Danny story in the Herald. There was a person I immediately thought of who might be doing that. I'm just going to write a name down.
Yeah.
And you tell me if you think that's even a chance.
Oh, no, I didn't think that. Maybe.
Okay, who are you thinking?
Are we doing a little secret messaging?
We're writing things down here. I know it's a podcast, but we're writing things down
there
here.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that a big chance.
Yeah.
Big chance. Yeah. Yep. Yep,
but people can read the writing anyway. Who cares?
Okay. Has anyone ever...
Text me who you think, Shawnee.
You know how they pixelate people's mouth so they can't be lip read? Can we get our hands pixelated so you can see what name we were writing down? Did you enjoy... Sean, I'll start with you. Did you enjoy the points... The points-a-thon, the points-fest, the biggest, the highest-scoring weekend... In finals history, every game had a minimum 50 points.
I enjoyed it and didn't enjoy it at the same time. From a punting perspective, it wasn't too good because I was on the unders, and it might be RIP to the unders. It used to just be a tap in week one of the finals, particularly the 1v4, 2v3. Is it dead with the new rule? And I'm actually really intrigued to see how it plays out in Origin, particularly game one. Again, that's always a tap in for the unders. You can't get it low enough, but is it dead? I mean, but yeah, from a viewing perspective, it was awesome.
Who won, John? The punters, or did Sportsbet win over the first weekend?
Yeah.
Punters killed you?
Well, punters, did they, Sean?
Yes.
Landslide.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a funny old week, though. I mean, you're alive in the bracket, Dan, but you didn't stray too far from the favourites, did you?
So, no, that's the thing. And I actually had a losing weekend on the punt. Now, got unlucky a couple of ways, but you're right. my best bet was Penrith into the under. But the remember Penrith won, but they were minus two on the line. So I think that would have crueled a lot of people.
Well, it was funny. The first three games, all three pluses covered by that one point. You had the
Chad
plus
Townsend.
Two, plus
Jesus.
Two and a half.
Yeah. Chad Townsend kicking from the sideline destroyed a lot of people's multi. I'll just say that.
Anyone on the Sharkies should never, the Sharkies plus, should never whinge to the punting gods again about a bad beat.
Speaking of bad beats.
On the, you know what?
Yeah, on the tush by a rainbow.
They did lead 14-6. But anyway, you're right. To kick it like that from the sideline, hit the post and bounce in.
My luck continues. So the bad beat started, I don't know, 10 days ago, and Kyle Flanagan remarkably got beat. Then I had the Warriors to score. I needed this goal to be kicked by Chanel Harris-Tavita, which Adam Blair takes the kick, never looked like it. Okay, well, we start again, right? Yeah. So we get to this week, and I go on TV on Channel 9, I tip a 20-1 shot in the Metropolitan Mirage Dancer. Now, what happened was, I use a deposit limit, which I think is a very, very good way to go about it. By the time Mirage Dancer had come up,
yeah, but your deposit limit's $7,000. But anyway,
but I was out of bullets. I was out of bullets, and I was watching this race knowing it was going to win. But that's okay. Because
how can you not make that the first bet when you put your deposit in?
I know.
You get rid of. You have to put that bet on first.
I know. So anyway, that's okay because
that's the punning gods punishing.
Yeah.
You.
Well, a mate of mine and I were alive in the quaddie, right? Yeah, and right. I'm relieved because Mirage Dancer has won the Metropolitan, and we're going to win this quaddie, right? Yeah. Well, I haven't put it in the quaddy. I've left it out of the quaddy. So then we get to the Sunday, right?
This isn't the punting gods. You've been whinging about the punting gods.
Yeah.
That's just
stupidity.
On your part.
So we get to the Sunday, and I'm the closer to the kickoff, I'm getting so bullish about an ambush from the Knights, right?
Oh, weren't you, Josh?
I've backed them head-to-head at about 365.
Yeah.
I've backed them with the start 9.5, and I've backed them with them to win and Bradman Best scores a try. Bradman Best scores, who should have passed it to Edric Lee, by the way, but that doesn't matter. He hogs it, scores. Bingo, right? So now it's 12 points to nil.
You got the hard part, Dan.
I've got Bradman Best already scoring, 12 points to nil. At worst, I could lose the Bradman Best bet and the head-to-head, and I could lose the head-to-head. But I've got the 9.5 points up my sleeve. I in a no-lose position, Dan.
Not even close. Not even close.
I need a spell. Righto, what about you? You've antagonised the people, Dan. You've picked up the little phone, the dangerous device that it is, and you've gone bang.
Oh,
Parramatta
yes.
should move their final away from Bankwest Stadium, and the punters have gone. Like some of the replies are, "Is it safe to come out now?" Like,
So many years ago, this would be par for the course. I throw one of these Twitter bombs out there to see the reaction. Well, anyway, years and years ago, I'd got the radio show on Triple M and I'd sort of stopped doing it on Twitter because I thought, well, Triple M's paying me for these opinions, so I better do it on there. So I was bored on, when did I do it? Monday?
Yeah.
I needed a distraction. I thought, let's see if the old boy can still rile people up. Oh, did I rile? I've never been given so much advice in my life about my commentary and about my personal hygiene and about all sorts of things. But no, I'm adamant that the NRL has lost so much money this year. We have a system in which weeks two and three of the finals, the NRL says we will play at the most appropriate venue. They made a decision. They wanted to give Parramatta home ground advantage or the choice of playing wherever they wanted because Bankwest is one of the three stadiums that qualifies for week two and week three, those stadiums being Bankwest, the SCG and ANZ. My argument is, yes, Bankwest, when it's at capacity, is certainly finals worthy, no question. But when it can only fit in 15,000, I don't believe it's finals worthy. And this game would have got, do we agree, even though it was a poor crowd, South Newcastle, I thought it was a very disappointing crowd, actually.
17, was it?
17.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
It was hot, I grant you. And Sterlo made a good point on radio that Newcastle people, it's public holiday, shocking day to travel.
Yep.
But you know what? South fans should have got out in force. We've been deprived of sport for 6 months. You'd think the first chance you get. But I also think people are conditioned to thinking they actually are not allowed to go or they just can't get tickets.
Was the beach a big competitor? It was a magnificent weekend.
Oh, it was a beautiful weekend. And the public holiday thing, people would have had plans. So I'll cop that. But I think this game on Saturday night, Parramatta South, both sides think they can win this game. Both sides are, you know, not that far from a grand final. I think easily 30,000. I think we would have got to 40 in a sellout at ANZ, but easily 30.
Let's do a nearest the pin by the end of the show, the crowd for this game.
What it would have been.
Oh, well, it's going to be capacity
now. It's going to be 15.
It's going to be 15.
So I then went, and this is, remember, finals are NRL events. They're not club events, right? So the money goes to the NRL. And I said, how stupid is this?
Mm.
The NRL's throwing away, well, I didn't say the specific figure, but I'd worked that out in my head. If 20,000 people are being deprived of going, at I would say, $40 a ticket, conservatively, you can get cheapos for $20, but there's not many of those. But by the time you average it out, $40 or $50 a ticket, they're costing themselves $1 million.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, how many people just got sacked from the NRL?
Let me ask you this. What do you think the crowd will be?
15.
15.
Well, it's a sellout. It's sold out.
No, no, sorry. If it was at ANZ, what would the crowd be?
I think they'd get, I would say 35 would be the crowd.
Okay. If the NRL went to Parramatta and said, righto, Eels, come to ANZ Stadium. We'll give you the first 25,000 sales in tickets. You can only get 15 where you are.
I don't think they'd care.
They wouldn't care?
I don't think they'd care.
We'll give you 25,000 and we'll take the rest?
I don't think they'd care.
They wouldn't take the extra 10,000?
They wouldn't take the extra 10,000. I can't speak for them.
That equals $250,000 or something.
I think... The clubs are so hell-bent on playing at any advantage they can get. And remember, they don't get the cut of the finals money. I always go back to 2009 when St George wore off at St George Law $250,000 to move their final against Parramatta, ironically, to the football stadium. And they said, no, we've earned the right to play at Cogra because week one finals back then were always at the ground of your choice, wherever you wanted. It bit them in the face. And the NRL came out then and said, this will never happen again. But they've used the guise of COVID this year to say, well, things are all a bit different, so we've moved things around. We're playing at Bankwest, 15th. So, and my argument with Parramatta fans is, you know, a lot of your fans are being deprived of the... I'm not sticking up for South fans. I'm sticking up for Parramatta fans because this game... Imagine this game. Imagine, okay, if this was normal conditions, no COVID, at Bankwest.
Yes.
And you only... You gave Parramatta people the first crack at it.
Yep.
For 2 days, only Parramatta people could buy tickets. They'd sell it out.
That's right.
Right. No question. So Parramatta fans are the ones being deprived even more so than South fans. But anyway, I made the mistake, Sean and Joel, because I don't do the Twitter thing often, right?
No.
So I put the big bomb out there. Oh, my God, the reaction. But a lot of people agreed, by the way. I would say 70-30 my way, but that's okay. But then I made the crucial mistake. I tried to reason with people.
Yeah.
And you can't. I just forgot. You can't do it on... You can't actually have an intelligent conversation. There's no nuance.
Nope.
When people wanted to... Oh, Parramatta earned it. Parramatta earned it. And then you start to explain your reasonings for it. It's actually not about Parramatta.
No, you can't twist them around, Dan. Once they're down the pitch, they're going to keep soldiering on. You can't make your way back to the crease,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And the other thing is, when you publish a list on Twitter... It is people's job. No one ever just says, you know what? That list is exactly right.
Yeah.
I agree with that list. I've never, ever once seen that comment. Someone's published a list and someone said, that's the right list. I agree.
Yep.
You've got to find something different to add to the list, don't you?
Anyway. Mm. But anyway, it was fun. It was fun to venture back in that world, into that cesspit, which I happily dipped my toes in for a few days. But boy, I learnt a couple of Andy Raymond fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're not happy that I'm there at Fox and Andy's. Oh, there was a campaign to bring him. They got to clean out the dead wood at Fox. I laughed at that. So whoever, if you sent it, I think there were some numbers in your name. And here's my advice. If there's numbers in your name, or if there's a dog in your avatar, or if there's a kid in your avatar, I'm not going to take you that seriously.
Yeah.
But it was good fun. I actually enjoyed going back. But this is where... Twitter, I think, is at its best.
Mm.
Can we bring up this? God, this made me laugh. And now maybe this is my sense of humour. The great Gus Gould. Oh, you know I love Gus. We all love Gus.
Yeah.
Fantastic guest here. This out of absolutely nowhere. Before I forget too, The Sutton's Forest Big Mac I had last night was the best Big Mac I've ever eaten. The chips were hot and fresh too. I should know. I've had a few in my day. Well done, McDonald's Sutton Forest.
Well done, Gus. So Gus is like me, where, you know, it's not our fault. We drive past the Golden Arches and the blinkers put themselves on it. In we go. And well done, Gussie.
I just love
it. Is Gus on the take there? As a free Big Mac? May have just slipped his way into Gus's bag for that.
No, I think that's just pure Gus.
Yeah, that's pure Gus. There's no free takes at Macca's, is there?
I don't think there is. You know, this is one of the great things. Gordy tells me that he is in possession of the magical black McDonald's card.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
That apparently the 97 Broncos might have been sponsored. There was something in the 90s that was sponsored. Remember when the Broncos were just the biggest thing in town?
What, lifetime card?
Something like that. Wow. I'll go and ask. I don't work with him often these days because of the COVID thing. I never see him. But I'm sure in his wallet he has a Macca's card.
Wow.
So he can just walk up, bang.
The cops do, don't they? Because I think the cops get free food.
I think so.
So they can, it just has a cops, you've got a cops present there all the time.
Oh, is that why they do it?
Yeah. So you've always got the
just
cops
being nice to the people that protect us.
Well, a bit of both, that I suppose as well. But yeah, there you go.
There you go. But anyway, I just like that Gus tweet. I just thought it was.
Now, I didn't have the chance to actually see that tweet at Gus's because I must admit I sacked him on Twitter last week.
Did you?
And you might be able to clear this up for me. Why, for some reason, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's dropped the plural off the team names when he's discussing a game. It would be, so this week it would be
Rabbitoh v Eel.
I don't know why, but it drove me so mad. I had to sack him on Twitter. So goodbye, Gus.
I think that's exactly why he does it. For the same reason Peter Fitzsimons wears the red bandana.
Antagonise.
Yeah. It's the spite bandana, and I think it's the spite non-plural.
Yeah.
And it's bloody catching on. I saw Danny Widler put a tweet out. And on the Foxtel guide the other day, this is clearly a typo, but it was Raiders v Shark. Although, oh, you bastards, now they've got you too.
Yes.
He's got you too.
That's right.
Anyway, but we've danced around it for long enough.
Yeah, that's right.
It's time to pull the trigger. Was I pulling a bow? I don't know what I was doing. Joel Kane, do you want to go first? Or do we want to lead the man, the Warragul Wonder, kick us off this afternoon? Sounds like you just did one.
The Warragul Wonder, I like that. That might stick. No, I want to discuss the scourge of the NRL team social media departments and why they think rolling out these recorded debutant videos week after week, time after time, no one cares. It's been done a million times. No one cares. We did it for Zach Lomax. It's now gone.
This is
mainstream. It's now gone mainstream because Freddie's called up Zach Lomax on his mobile phone and the social media team just happened to be there to record it to tell him he's in the squad. Not even that he's getting a game. He's just in the squad now. I mean, please, it's done it a million times. Let's just forget it. Find something new and move on. It's like, remember that the couple got married 10 years ago and they come out and they dance to a song?
Yeah.
Now every nuffy that gets married does it and it just falls flat. Well, that's where we're at.
What I want to see,
I don't want to see someone getting his debut. If you're going to sack someone, record that and stick that up on social media. That might get a bit of traction. I would actually watch that.
That's actually...
Filming a bloke getting told he's been rissoled. That is very good for me,
Well, that's top five Bambi this year.
Yeah, that's
anyone.
Great.
But Hard Knocks, the NFL show, used to have the shit player being cut, not making the squad.
Yeah.
They'd always take it. Well, but you'd always get the one every year that would blow up. But Sean's right. I will defend the premise of the recording the player when it's done this way, when it's a hidden camera, and it's very clearly a real conversation. As soon as you see two cameras involved, as soon as you see any switching of shots, I'm out. I'm thinking this is a completely staged, this is staged for the camera. I'm not interested. Very nice work.
Very good. Oh, I don't like to follow that, but I will. And mine, I will declare, has got a bit of self-interest because where I'm about to go has cost me dosh on the weekend, I have no doubt, and it's also cost me the tipping comp. I was very, very loyal to this side who I thought would cause headaches this year, right? because they have a good enough team to do so. The Newcastle Knights, right, have played this year one of the most boring brands towards the end of the season. It was so boring. Now, to win this competition, you must chance your arm. And they didn't do that, the Newcastle Knights. I'll start with a few pointers. You led 12 points to nil. You had them on the rack. They were under the pump. They were against the fence, the ropes, whatever you like. You had them toasted, right?
14-0.
You had them absolutely toasted. Momentum flying your way. Why did you take the two? We've been seeing all weekend high-scoring affairs. Man. You're not going to win 14 points to nil. The two, going up in twos is not going to get there. You had to go up by six. You get to 18. I know South can score some points, but you are up and about, and you are on your way to week two of the finals. That was the first problem. The second problem, I've mentioned how boring a football they'd played for most of the year. You need to, like, fortune favours the brave. Get braver next year. Ask some questions. Throw some balls out the back. That's what we need to see from the Newcastle Knights. We can't just be relying on Kalen Ponga. And the other thing is, the amount of times I saw this in the game, you'd look on the short side and there were three players defending three players. Hello, if Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds and Corey Allen are on the other side of the play the ball, it's a very fair chance the ball's going there. So you marking three on three on your little short side, do you think you need to be three on three? Or do you think you need to push over to where the apparent threat is, who's been slicing you up and carving you up all game? Parramatta, you did the same thing when you got flogged by South City last time. If I see three on three on a short side Parramatta this weekend, when Cody Walker is over on the left-hand side or the right-hand side with Adam Reynolds
and
Corey Allen.
You're talking through
your kick. Yes, I am.
You're talking through your kick.
But it's not rocket scientists. If they're on the other side of the field, put your own self-interest to worrying about your three on three with players who aren't going to beat you even three on two. Get over the other side.
So say his name. Come on, give it to him. If you're going to shoot Bambi, don't just shoot the whole club.
No, well,
Adam O'Brien.
No, I love Adam O'Brien, but they played. Wait, Adam O'Brien played the old Roosters way and the old Melbourne way. Melbourne Storm and the Roosters have come on. They're now chancing their arm. They're flicking out the back.
They played not to lose.
They play not to. Yes, they do. Newcastle played not to lose. It's too safe. 2021. We need to see a more dangerous
side.
Thank
you. All right. Well done. Excellent. Mine's going to be actually surprisingly weak, but an old friend of this segment. I was reading the, because I like to pretend to be cultured, the Australian on Monday, and the media section. There's Roxy Jasenko. Roxy Jasenko. PR queen. Or should I say maven? As just listen to these two. I just want these two paragraphs. That's all I need to read. Sydney PR maven, Roxy Jasenko. Pronouncing a name correctly?
I've no idea.
Okay. Sydney...
I don't even know what Roxy Jasenko does.
No one does.
But I know the
she
name.
She gives bad advice to Dave Warner and Candace Warner.
Right.
Remember when they came back from South Africa?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how they... Steve Smith turned his reputation around by being honest and he cried at the press conference and Cam Bancroft did the same thing. This is from South Africa, Sandpaper Gate. And then Dave and Candace... Dave came back 2 days later, and then everything they did was staged because Queen Roxy, PR maven Roxy, had them scripted within an inch of their life. So when Dave cried, it looked absolutely fake.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kiss and the whole thing. And so, you know, for a PR maven, she's not very good.
I need to... I'm actually looking up what maven means.
Sydney
Can someone tell me what it is?
But here it is. Sydney PR maven, Roxy Jasenko, subscribes to H.G. Wells' famous mantra, adapt or perish. Sweetheart, she's a PR... You're a PR person who's on reality TV shows. Who are you to compare yourself or even put yourself in the same world as H.G. Wells? But here's the quote. Are you ready? This is a direct quote from Roxy Jasenko. Who, by the way, her PR firm went broke. Broke.
Mm.
Not that I wish for that, but it's the context you need for this quote. What I've learned is the Roxy Jasenko brand has got pull. I mean, a third-person comment from someone who is so desperate for attention, she's about to star on, I think, the worst reality show we've ever conceived, SAS Australia, with nothing but hateable people, except Merrick Watts. I like Merrick. But all the people on there, like Arabella Del Fraud, and who else is it? Chappelle Corby. All the Australia's most hateable people, they're putting him into, you know, doing obstacle courses with the SAS and being tortured. But there's Roxy Jasenko from such shows as Celebrity Apprentice. Desperate for attention and She's learned that the Roxy Jacenko brand has got... What brand is that, Roxy? What brand is that? Bad PR advice and how to get yourself on TV with little talent. Thank you.
Hey, Cole Mourner, I'd love to rewind it about 2 minutes here. Now, guys, I'm going to go soft today. I'm going to... You did not go soft. Okay, here's what a maven is, right?
He dialed it up, didn't he?
A maven is a trusted expert in a particular field who seeks to pass timely and...
Oh, sage.
And relevant knowledge onto others in the respective field. Oh. Well, I'm going to put it to you.
Yes.
This.
That's maven.
That's maven-esque.
That's Steve Maven.
This is Maven. This could be the greatest bit of art since Mona Lisa. and the author is the great man here, the maven himself, Dan Ganane, who's on his way to a bracket, who punters have poured into at the $51 to get the bracket.
Now, in all seriousness, did people actually discover the market?
Yeah, yours was best backed of all three.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Well, no.
You're a maven, see?
No. I say that only because I had the four favourites in the first week. So
yeah,
that's
but it
why.
That hadn't happened in 8 years.
I know.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Because I'm thinking, once we got to South Newcastle, I'm thinking, well, there hasn't been an upset yet. There has to be.
Mm.
Has to be. So now that makes me think, as we start to move ahead to the NRL topics, that are we starting to throw history out? Points in finals never happens. Well, we had a truckload of them. All the favourites getting up. That one was thrown out the window after 8 years. Now the next two, right, is straight sets now very rarely happens or has. In the last 5 years, just one team has lost in straight sets. I think it was Parramatta, funnily enough, in 2017. So essentially the way it works is if you lose but you get the second chance, you'll win the second week.
Yes.
Right? That is the way we do it. But you're gone in week three.
Yes.
It is a tried and true path. Very occasionally, like the 2015 Cowboys or the 2017 Cowboys, you will get an outlier. But I'm just wondering now, if all the rules this year, through the new rules, through COVID, through whatever, they don't exist anymore.
No. Nine of the last 10 years, the Premier has earned the week off. So it all points to the Melbourne Storm or the Panthers. But you know what? There's a real opportunity for the teams this weekend because Kikau's not playing for the Panthers. We now know that. And look, Munster. How's Munster going to pull up for the Melbourne Storm?
I'm very surprised by that. We'll do the markets in a moment. But the very idea that he is filthy at the end of the game and they're saying, oh, no, he'll be right in 2 weeks. It's the same injury that cost him 2 weeks twice.
Mm.
Now, you could mount an argument, yeah, he could have played the second week in those times, but it was home and away games.
It is a little bit of just keep the media away. Be very confident and strong about it. Everyone goes away. It's not this circus for 2 weeks, will he, won't he?
Speaking of the Storm, your Storm, Sean, stopping the clock for cramp, I personally applaud them. They've exposed a dud rule where if the trainer waves his hand because Nana McDonald broke his leg and the ref kept play going 18 months ago, you only have to do it once to make it effective, and they did.
Yep.
Vunivalu at the end of the game, and then Graham Annesley comes out and says, nope, we're stopping this. We're going to have strict rules. We're going to throw the trainer out if he does it in the future. And I'm thinking, that's a small price to pay. If you're 5 minutes to go and you need to stop the clock to stop an attacking raid from the other side, who cares if the trainer gets chucked out? If you can stop the clock, good luck to you. So the rules need to be harsher. Mm. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And it's just the Storm have just done it again, haven't they? Any sort of millimetre of an advantage they can find, they always find it first. And they did it there because they were really under the pump in that set. But it's not the ref's fault. I mean, really, it's all stemmed off the back of what you said, a broken leg. And he doesn't know what the severity of the injury is. But, you can only say well done to the Storm for finding that edge. But, it's probably only happened once and it'll probably be the last time.
I've got to give... Oh, I don't like doing this on this show, but I have to give one of my teammates a real rap here. I just don't want their head to swirl. But Joel Cain said it in last week's Bambi, actually, about the new rules and the crusher tackles and the dangerous... The judiciary system is going to cost someone a big game. Viliami Kikau, 2 days later, gets himself a one-match suspension, was not overturned at the judiciary. So are you saying this is a flaw of the system? Because I actually believe he probably... I thought he was going to win because I just assume anyone who goes to the judiciary is going to win. But was it a week worthy? Or are you, does this fit into your argument that it's a ridiculous situation where a finals game is worth the same as a home and away and a grand final is worth the same as a final, same as a home and away game?
Yeah, so it's to me it's so obvious, and that's why I raised it last week in the Bambi, is that if for the little, like Cameron Smith, for example, is in big risk of not playing in the grand final because he is right on the precipice of, you know, an accidental crusher or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
And he could, if he's going to retire this year, he could retire on missing out on a grand final. So it's just so obvious to me, as a game, we want the best players there playing, don't we? We don't want the Billy Slaters from years ago, who did play, by the way, but we don't want him missing out. If it's a very minor offence, whether it's 1 week or 2 weeks, like they do in horse racing, right, defer the sentence. So if it's a 1 or 2 week thing, no problem. You miss week one or week two next year. You don't miss a grand final and a prelim final. We want Viliame Kikau playing in the prelim final.
I get you. I don't know what the solution is. You've come up with a solution, but the system is designed to punish recidivists. So Smith, by not missing the prelim, has been given his stay of execution. Where what I fear, Joel, is Chris Randall is the perfect example of where this system is going to cost someone a grand final, the crusher tackle. Someone fell into him. I can't remember the incident.
There
was nothing Chris Randall could do. The South player fell into him and give the penalty, fine. Because it was genuine, his head was bent. But I'm there thinking, Chris Randall, what could he do? He ends up getting, I think, a week, because I think that's the minimum.
That's right.
So I'm telling you, that is my fear.
Mark my words, we are not done. Kikau has been the big one so far. We are not done. And it's a big problem. We want the best players playing. 1 or 2 week offences, they should be playing these big games.
All right, Sean, I suspect that has made no difference to the premiership market. The fact Kikau will not be there for the prelim final as we look at the odds. And Penrith, nice and warm as favourites. I'm going to guess, Sean, it's the first time they've been favourites this year. Have I got that right?
I think you are right there, mate. Yeah, and look, there's a significant gap between the second line of being there, the Storm, who are also in the prelim purely because of the side of the draw.
Oh, dear. Well, the technology gods have let us down.
What he was about to say, Shawnee, I think, is that the Panthers are awaiting the winner of South and Parramatta.
Yes.
Whereas the Melbourne Storm, they've got the Raiders. They've got a grand final team coming out.
They've got a gun team.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt Penrith want Parramatta. There's no question. You don't want to be dealing with South. You could beat South by 30, but then if they turn it on for 40 minutes, they could undo 16 weeks of good work with a Cody Walker masterclass in 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. But the irony of all that would be that Parramatta's the only team who's beaten them all year.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All right, I think we've got Sean back. We'll get him up in a second. To me, and you're right, that's the reason why Melbourne are not favourites. To me, I thought they proved they should be favourites this week because they weren't anywhere near their best. They took care of business. They got a prelim in Brisbane. And at worst for them, they're going to play Penrith. They're going to play a team of kids in the grand final. Mm. We know Melbourne can handle the big event. The only question about Penrith is can they handle the big stage?
That's right.
That would be. So I'm surprised. Where's the weight of money gone, Sean? That would be my question. What are the punters thinking?
It's actually funny. This year's a bit of an outlier. Usually we see the money sort of fully skewed to those that finish in the top four, but it's actually South who have been very, very well supported and are our worst result in the book by far. We're staring down the barrel of a plus $3 million payout if they do salute. And before I dropped out there, I touched on the easy side of the draw. They do get the easier route to the grand final, if you want to call it that, going through Parramatta this week, then they get Penrith the week after. Not to say it's an easy route, but that's where the money has been, and a pretty ugly payout should they get the job done.
Sean, it is an easier route. Let's be honest. They meet Parramatta, who they're without Sivo, which is huge.
Yep.
Maybe without Ferguson, and then you get a chance to play Penrith without Kickout. Like you are, South Sydney are a massive chance to go through to the grand final. Let me tell you that they are a massive chance.
Oh, no question. You would not be shocked.
No.
If they went nuts, you wouldn't be shocked, mate. And again, their forward pack is just doing it. They broke even at worst with Newcastle, with Clemmer, Saifidi, and the Totolas and the Kalaomatungis and the Tom Burgesses.
Yeah.
Minimum broke even.
That's right.
They are having a barnstorming year. Now, a couple of quick... Now, you got to look on the Sportsbet app.
We saw Damien...
Go on, Shauna.
Sorry, mate. We saw Damien Cook probably have his best game for the year last week. We finally saw his running game that we all expected to see with these new rules, and it just shows when you give him an inch, he can blow the game apart. We saw it a couple of times last week.
Hot weather.
Yes.
He's going to tear teams apart in hot. I don't know what the weather is on Saturday night in Sydney. It's a bit chilly on this Wednesday, so we're in that stage where you can get 30 degrees or you can get 19 degrees. So just keep an eye on that. You got to keep an eye on the Sportsbet app because you get some sneaky little markets. You had a couple of try-scorer bingos. I'm sure they would have gone close.
Round bingo got up, yeah.
You know, I looked at that and I thought, I'm going to back that, and I never got around to it. But you got to look because usually it's in the first game of the weekend. But here's one. Stage of elimination for the Panthers. Well, when it says stage of elimination, there are three possibilities. They either lose the prelim at $3, they either lose the GF at $2.63, or they win the GF at $2.63. That's like a soccer market there with the three. Go on.
Take the lose the prelim, and I'll tell you why. Because whoever wins through, there'll be a recency bias between South or Parramatta, whoever wins through. I'm assuming South. Mm. They won't be $3 against Penrith. South Sydney will not be a $3 pop playing against Penrith. And that's essentially...
Oh, you're saying they'll be shorter.
Of course they will.
I bet they're not.
You think South will be a bigger price without Kickout? Okay. That's a great bet. Okay. Penrith.
I'll take your advice.
You with me, Shauna?
Where will that game be?
ANZ. And God bless Penrith, because they could have played at Bankwest as well. Can you imagine Penrith versus Parramatta, prelim final, in front of 15,000 at Bankwest? And the NRL gave Penrith the option. That's my beef. Don't give the club the option. But anyway, Penrith went to ANZ, so we'll get maximum crowd. But there you go. To answer that question, so you think it'll be $1.30 Penrith? They'll be a much bigger price, and they'll be in the twos, whoever they're playing.
Absolutely. I mean, and even a minor case here, not as strong on this, but, you know, if the Roosters win through, are they going to be $2.20 against a Melbourne Storm team with Munster in doubt?
Okay, so stage of elimination for the Storm to lose the prelim $2.20 against either the Roosters or Canberra, lose the GF at $3, win the GF at $3.10.
The thing about these prices, and you have to remember, it's... The $3 about Penrith losing the prelim, for example, you've got the chance that Parra do win this week. So it's the average price they're going to be in that game. But I do agree if South do a number on Parra, which is certainly not out of the realms of possibilities, and they front up at ANZ Stadium against a kick-outless Penrith, I don't think there's going to be $3 on the board. So I don't mind the angle, Sugar. If you like South this week, then you might be able to look ahead one way you can get a juicy price.
And that's why you listen to this podcast. I never would have even thought of that as... but there you find the little sneaky, you know, just the little markets where perhaps they've got it wrong or there's a little opening for you. We are going to look at these games right after this.
The Hoffmer's back, and we're backing the Battlers. Every horse in the race will represent a local sporting club that's had a tough 2020, and if they win, your club wins. The Hoffham, a battle of the Battlers for the Battlers.
Now, we're going to have a special guest towards the end of the show here from that race trying to...
Bateman's Bay,
trying to win that race. Explain to me So the concept of the Hotham is, to use Roy and HG parlance... Busted ass horses, and you've picked the most busted ass of busted ass horses, and you're giving them a chance at a proper good prize money. Have I got this right?
Yeah, that's right. So these horses are the the Jason Lowry of try scoring or the Bryce Gibbs of try scoring. They've gone on such a long run. It's like the nudie run of horse racing, Dan, where
yes.
Basically the horses, the ballot entry is the least successful horses. So the horse who's had the most runs without ever winning, you're basically straight into the race.
Right.
Which means one battling horse is finally going to get their victory. They're all maidens, of course. It's probably the richest maid in Australia, I suppose.
How much is it worth?
Oh, there's $75,000 it'll go to the...
For a maiden?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Go to the field. But also, too, we've matched that with the sporting clubs. So sporting clubs have put themselves forward and put themselves in the draw, and Batemans Bay have won. So there was a barrier draw last night, and they had got the barrier draw, got to choose their horse. So it's fantastic. A great initiative for sports, but that's on Friday.
Okay, and we'll speak to someone from Batemans Bay at the end of this. That's a good concept. I like it. So the Everest is... clearly, that is not a shot at, but it's through the prism of the Everest. The Everest is the rich people taking on the rich people. Here's something for the battle.
That's right, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
All right, let's get to some games, eh? And we start, what a game. Friday night football. Roosters, Raiders. Grand final rematch. How the Raiders would love to end the dynasty. $1.47 the Roosters, $2.75 the Raiders. And now we've added a new graphic for our KO viewers, where the money is going. I'm a bit surprised at this, gentlemen. 61% of the head-to-head money is going to the Roosters. I suppose you shouldn't be that surprised. It's not that big a disparity. I thought, Sean, people would have gobbled up the 275 for the Raiders. It just seems like you're putting out the burly. You're really inviting people to take the fat odds.
Nah, there's no burly about it. But to Shook's point before, there's a big recency bias for the following week after a final, particularly for the team it's won, team it's lost. But it's not the case here as it is in the other game that we'll get to later. But yeah, Roosters with the majority money, the head-to-head, and also the line, punters aren't scared to step into the... It actually opened -4.5. It's crept its way up to -6, and they're seeing, yeah, whopping 70%, which is a huge disparity in a 50-50 market, or what should be a 50-50 market.
Wow.
Yeah, a little bit surprising. Whether it's just a little correction from maybe a skinnier or two skinnier price that we initially put up might be the case, but I think the Raiders might see a bit of support late in this one. Not that I necessarily agree, but we'll get to the tips a bit later.
Now, at what weight of money, we've already seen the line move from, what did you say, 4.5 to 6. If we could get that line to 6.5, yep, that is momentous. Is there a chance, if that weight of money continues, and we're recording this Wednesday, 11 a.m, so it might have already changed by now one way or the other, is there a chance we can get that line to 6.5?
Definitely. If I had it my way, I've probably got a little bit bigger than what it is, but that's not to say that the market or the weight of money will agree with me. But wouldn't shock me to get it to 6.5. And the real interesting number in this game is the total. It's opened 42.5, which just looks huge to me. I know we saw, you know, a bit of an outlier in last week. All the games racked up the points, but if you had told me, you know, a month ago or 6 weeks ago that we're going to see a grand final rematch, a knockout elimination final of 42.5 up there, I would have called you crazy. So I think that might be a little. I think people might have got a little bit too excited off the back of one week's high scoring. That looks massive. 42.5 in a final. I couldn't actually believe my eyes.
Okay, I think we know where Sean's going to go. To me, they've trapped me, Joel, because I saw the plus six and thought that's too good to refuse.
Yeah,
and I do feel like that's a trap line, that they are trying to suck me in to take that line, and I think they're going to win the weather. They're going to get my money. The weather in Sydney, 24 on Friday. Okay, so very pleasant and sunny. No. Weather will not be a factor at the SCG.
Look, Canberra Raiders absolutely don't fear the Roosters.
No, they do not.
We know that. The last 8 games has been 1-12, whoever won the match. They do not. They're probably one of the few teams who don't fear the Roosters. They're a big enough side to handle the Roosters. I also like the +6, but I am tipping the Roosters win the game. So I'll be tipping alternative margins, maybe the Roosters or a try bet perhaps, 6 points either way here. But I'll take the start. But just keep in mind, you know, they didn't fear him last year, and that was one of the all-time teams, the Roosters. This year, no Latrell, no Cooper Cronk, no Radley. Yep, take the Raiders at the plus for me.
I got a stat. It's going to blow you away. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. I don't know how we turn this into profit. In fact, I think it's the opposite. Brett Morris, try-scoring machine, yes?
Yep.
He has scored one finals try since 2010. One finals try in his last 12 finals.
Really?
Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
He scored six in his first five. So in his first year, he scored two. In his second year, he scored three. Something like that.
Wow.
So by 2009, he had six finals tries. From 2010, the Dragons, I think he set up a try in the grand final when his foot was on the touchline. One finals try. Now, I don't know what that means. This is one of those things I discovered. I'm doing this game on Friday. I just, one of those things I thought, I can't believe. I had to go in and check and recheck because I thought, that can't be right.
No.
But there it is. So
I'm just texting the great man, Fletch. I'm running late, Fletch. I'm coming. I'm supposed to be catching up with him. Can you?
It's promo shoot day, everyone. That's why Joel looks really nice.
Really
haircut.
What?
Look at the haircut.
Yeah, that is exactly right. That's why I've got the haircut.
Yes.
Hey, mate.
When did
you
get the haircut?
Yesterday afternoon.
Oh, see, I never. If I know I got a photo, I get it like 3 days before.
Yeah, I just wasn't organised.
Just to let it settle.
Yeah,
a little. Come on, John, mate. You're
schoolboy error.
Come on, mate.
Hey, mate, can you please let them know?
Look at this name drop. Look at this disgraceful name drop.
Yeah, that's a big
Joel Kane and Brian Fletcher. When does it start? In grand final?
Grand final week.
On SEN 1170.
That's the one, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, straight, by the way, straight sets exit for the Roosters. Last did it in 2008. More pertinently, the last defending premier to go out in straight sets, Melbourne in 2013.
Oh.
I didn't realise that until I went back.
Okay.
So there you go. Doesn't happen often, straight sets exits, but Roosters and their bad in close games this year, 1-5 in games decided by six or less. Raiders, now isn't this kooky? If they win, it'll be the first time they've made back-to-back prelims since 94-95.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm blowing you away with these stats. So this
I like this.
See, this is the research. That's there you go. There you go. All right. That's it. That's our tip. So Canberra
Raiders.
Minus six.
Yep.
Plus six.
Yep.
And you're going the under or over?
I'll go with the over. Just because it's a pretty low total in today's market, perhaps.
Okay. And Sean, you've definitely gone the under, haven't you? And Roosters?
On Roosters to cover, yeah. You said it before. Jake Friend in is huge. I'm not his biggest fan, but with the depth they don't have in that number nine department, he's a huge in for them.
Okay, and but the under as well?
Yes, please.
Okay, and for me, I'm going the under, not as confident, but Canberra plus six. Right, we get to Saturday night, Bankwest Stadium. Actually, I'm going to ask straight up. I'm not going to get into the whole ANZ thing where the game should be. Is it an advantage for Parramatta? I don't think it is.
No, we'll ask him this way, Shawnee. What's the if it was at ANZ Stadium versus Bankwest, how would that shift the line?
It would probably move it. I'd suggest. See, crowds make this really, really difficult, and home advantage is a little bit subjective. I'd probably move it 1.5 points.
Oh, that's significant. Okay.
Yeah, the way of South, which is, I mean, it is a decent move. You know, we're only going down the road, but it is an advantage for Para, okay, this game being at Bankwest. I would love to see it full low.
The point I'm making is South members, as we look at the odds, 285, 145, that's on Wednesday morning. When tickets go on sale for finals, it's open slather for ticketed members of both clubs. So if South fans were quick to the button, they could have got... They had every chance, as much opportunity as Parramatta fans. I suspect they weren't. I suspect Parramatta fans will absolutely dominate. So I think it might be a slight advantage than if it was at ANZ. Look at this. The weight of money. This is insane. 95% of the money. Geez, that's a lot. Is with South. That's a lot of money for an unreliable team. That is a lot of money for an unreliable team. Sean, do you think that says more about what punters think about South or the fact that punters have given up on Parramatta, who won't have Sivo? And what we're hearing, Ferguson might be a problem. Again, Wednesday morning, we won't find out till maybe later today, certainly, you know, closer to game time.
No, I think this is exactly, to Shug's point before, huge recency bias in punters' minds. So you've got one team who have flogged Newcastle against a parasite. It went down albeit to the Melbourne Storm, but they do find themselves without Sivo, which is the big headline in this game. So not too surprising. Maybe the how short of that percentage is going towards Para is a little bit surprising, but not huge to me.
Okay. Here's my problem, Joel. I'm wondering, and this is for a few teams, Parramatta, Roosters, and we saw it with Newcastle and Cronulla. They fought, they threw all their punches early, right? And then they were over and overrun easily, really. Parramatta and Melbourne just went like that and swallowed Parramatta up. Have the Eels fired their best shot?
Yeah, I think they're done. I think they're really done, Parramatta. And the thing about South Sydney, Dan, is I reckon that they, if you timed, when they did a backline shift, if you timed the amount of time the ball was actually in the hand, South are the quickest to get it out. They just go zip, 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 zip. You know, Corey Allen, whether straight to Alex Johnson, no problem. And the other thing for Parramatta is they're without the top try scorer of the last 2 years, Mike Acevo, which is just significant, and not just how many he scores.
No, the metres.
That left edge, the metres, and the left edge between Acevo and Jennings, they concede very, very few tries.
Yes.
The temptation, because South Sydney's so dangerous on their left, I wouldn't be surprised if Jennings goes over there. You know, Jennings is a left-sided player. I wouldn't be surprised if Jennings plays on the right side this week.
Right, okay. That's it, because
he's such a good defensive centre.
Well, yeah, and see, Wunga Blake's on the back page of the paper today because of his defensive woes. Well, there's a chance he's going to have to go back. He might have to play on the wing anyway, and Brad Takarangi comes in into the centres. On that horrid side where South can just destroy teams.
Just destroy teams. And, look, take Cody Walker for try scorer. He has scored heaps of tries recently, but four of those tries against Melbourne, against the Roosters, against the Knights on the weekend and against Parramatta, four tries that were just as simple where Adam Reynolds goes to the line, double pumps, and then Cody Walker's timing for that little jockey play and he runs through and scores. Just a simple play like that, they execute so well. Cody Walker, anytime try scorer.
He would be in my top three. I would pay money to watch right now in rugby league. Is Ryan Pappenhausen would be one. Tedesco would be two. Oh, you'd pay money. And, you know, if you said, you could only have eyes on that player.
Yep.
I would just... Just watching Cody Walker is a thing of beauty.
Absolutely.
Anyway, there we go. But what about the pass Reynolds threw to him the other day?
Oh,
my God.
If they're on the same side of the field, Dan, don't worry about the other side. Anyway.
Okay, so you're going South very clearly. Any major thoughts on this game, Sean, and your tip, please? Over under 45 and a half, by the way.
Well, yeah, we thought the first game was a big total. This one's blown out of the park, 45 and a half. I know we saw big totals last week. We're banging on about it, but I have to lean the way of an under in a do or die game. I don't have a huge opinion on the line really, but I think at Bankwest, and if Fergie plays, I think I want to be with Parramatta points here. My only concern is, and you've said it all already, Shook, but one edge was already a little bit flaky. Now both are flaky. If it's Brothers Jennings on one side, I think it might have been a South game earlier this year, maybe late last year, where they absolutely tore them to shreds. That's my only concern. But I don't mind the idea of Takarin and Blake to a wing. But I'll be siding with Parrott just in this game.
I honestly don't know, because I look here at Campbell, Gillard, Pauline, Nathan Brown. They have the ability to run over South if they're on their game, but I'm not sure they will. I don't think Campbell Gillard's quite as dominant as he was in the middle of the season. Junior Paulo, I don't like tipping against Nathan Brown ever. I think he's
not running for the metres anywhere near he was.
Nathan Brown.
Nah.
I'm not worried about Nathan Brown's metres. I'm worried about his second phase play
and
his presence. But I'm going to go with South here, just because Parramatta's defence... South's strengths are exactly where Parramatta's weaknesses are right now. I think a Parramatta crowd, funnily enough, when things are going badly, I think it can actually... there's a nervousness that comes... It used to happen at North Sydney Oval, where, here we go again. Parramatta's lost four of their five finals under Brad Arthur they've lost. South are going to have a good period at some point in this game. They're too good to be off for 80 minutes. And how will Parramatta get nervous? I think South. I will not be having a cent on this game on South at the line, because I think that's... I can see this going down to the wire, but give me South and the over. The over. This has got points. South aren't a good defensive team, so this to me has got points written all over it. Again, nice night, Sydney. When Bankwest is, when there's no dew on Bankwest, it's points galore. And in October, we shouldn't have any juice, so give me the over. That leaves the best bets. Joel, I'm going to let you kick this off. Best bets for these two games.
Best bets for these two games.
Or just one best bet.
One best bet. So Roosters 1-12, I think, is the bet there. I think they sneak home with it, Dan. Roosters 1-12. And Eels taking on the Rabbitohs.
Yes.
Same game multi. Cody Walker to score. Mm. When Cody Walker scored, his last 21 games, they've won 18 times. So Cody Walker to score, South minus, same game multi.
Ooh, okay. You can get some nice value there. Walker is in, he has 10 tries this year. Sean Ormerod, I know where you're going here. Go on, offend the people you've been offending for years on this podcast.
The
off
Raider
you go.
Hater.
Off you go. Off you go, Sean.
Well, why stop now?
That's insulting,
mate. I'm tipping Roosters 13 plus in this one. The only thing the Roosters were missing last week was some quality service out of dummy half. And I said before, I'm not Jake Friend's biggest fan, but I think he's huge in this game. I've never seen the Roosters get caught on the last tackle the number of times they did. And it's no go at Freddie Lussie. He's only young, but Friend's huge in this game. I think that I can see this game being close. I'm not saying the Roosters are going to lap them, but I think there's a bit more upside in taking that bigger price plus as opposed to the minus six.
Okay, well, I've gone a little more about the try scorers than the results. Canberra, I'll tell you what worries me, Joel. I love the Raiders, but Jordan Rapana's defence, do you notice he is never in sync with Kotrick or his inside? He rushes up.
He's a winger.
Right. So there's always a chance here. Now, that is, he's the right side defender. Luke Keary on the left. He could absolutely have a field day. And I've got him to put Josh Morris in for an anytime try. And Alex Johnston, it was too, I just wanted him anytime, but it's $1.53 or something. It's too short. So I've got him to score a double because I can see, even if South lose, I can see him getting on the score sheet a couple of times. And you get some nice odds there, $7.20.
I would strongly, if I was Ricky, consider playing Elliot Whitehead in the centres just to try and get neutral ground there. Valame out, Rapana back to the wing.
Okay. Interesting.
I'd consider that very, very strongly. Righto, Dan, we've got our man. We're looking towards the Hotham on Friday.
Yes.
And Batemans Bay have been represented at the barrier draw last night. Now, man from down there from Batemans Bay, Danny Whiter, is on the line. G'day, Danny.
G'day, guys. How you going?
How'd you go last night, mate? Did you choose well?
I don't know. I've got a wide barrier, so we'll see how we go.
What accent is this, Danny?
English.
English. How does a pom end up in beautiful Batemans Bay?
Oh, long story. It's a little bit sunnier than England, that's for sure.
100%. No, you've picked well.
So what's just for the listeners who don't know and the viewers who don't know, Danny, what's the I know the prize money, but what's the prize money up for the grabs for your great club?
Oh, there's $25,000 up for grabs. If we get something out of it, it's better than nothing, the way it's been this year and what have you. You know, if we get in the top three, we'll be happy. The committee is stoked that we've actually been nominated. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Well, you've already got Dosh because every single club already gets some money for being involved as well. Just quickly explain to us why it's been so tough for you guys this year. Many people have done it tough, but why specifically for Batemans Bay?
Well, it started off with a drought before Christmas. Then heading into New Year, we had probably the worst bushfires on record.
Yeah.
Us as a footy club, we couldn't get onto our field because obviously the Army were doing such a good job with the cleanup down here. They camped on our main field. Once they got off, we could train again. We managed to score one trial game on our reserve field. The crowds came, you know, beers, steak sandwiches and things like that.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was a good, you know, I think they were pumped after the shit Christmas and summer with the bushfires. And then, what was it, a week later, COVID hit. So training stopped, groups got canned. So, yeah, it's just been a very rough year, not for just us, obviously, everybody across the area, but the bushfires were copped a lot.
Hey, Danny, I don't think many people would know this, but Adam O'Brien and also Brad Arthur, they're Batemans Bay royalty, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah. Brett Arthur was down here, geez, what would it be now, about 20 years ago, captain coach. Adam O'Brien were first grade, 5'8". They linked up, got to a grand final, and then they headed up to Cairns Brothers for a couple of seasons as well together. And then that's where, yeah, that's where it kicked off, really, from Batemans Bay.
Which horse will you have in this race?
Like Your Love, that's the one that we got. Like Your Love.
Hey, Danny, thanks for joining
us. Danny.
Good luck. Good luck to those down at Batemans Bay as well.
Thanks for that. Thanks for the chance for nominating a battler. Yeah, it's been bloody good. Thanks, boys.
No, well done.
Go the Tigers.
And well done to Sportsbet. I like it when people take Sportsbet's money, but especially when it goes to good causes. So well done. Someone's going to – how much? Whoever wins is 25 for a club.
Yeah.
If it's not Danny, it'll be someone else's club. And 25, God, that goes a long way for paying a lot of bills for a fair while. Well, not a fair while, but that's a good chunk of change.
And maybe those who back your bracket, Dan, if it's successful, $51 they can donate to Batemans Bay and other clubs as well. That pretty much wraps us up, I think, Dan.
This is the week. If we can get through this week, then I start thinking about the break. When do you start thinking about a quaddy? I wouldn't think about it until the very last leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, same as a multi.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean Ormerod.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
All right. That tan will be even better next week. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, that's it. We're like Shorty's grays on the beard. We're gone. See you later. Have a great week. Gamble responsibly.
Finally, we can just for men everything.
Oh, by the way, Dan, by the way, special shout out.
Yes, yes.
It's time to leave the building. We're losing Susie.
No.
Susie, who works behind the scenes.
No. She's off to watch people have showers, switching Big Brother.
Big Brother. Yeah, so Susie, we love you. We love how you've been such a big part of this show.
Yeah.
We're going to miss you dearly. And
we're going to miss her laugh. We know we're going on the right track. We're going to hear through the wall Susie's laugh.
What does Big Brother say? Susie, it's time to go.
It's time to go.
See you, folks. Have a great week.